British comedian Ricky Gervais has made his name playing losers, and not really lovable losers at that. He wrote and starred in the TV show The Office, where he played the dunderheaded boss, David Brent. In his next series, Extras, he played the slightly more with it, Andy Millman. Now Ricky Gervais has a stand-up comedy special that debuts tomorrow night on HBO. He spoke with me earlier from London. Ricky Gervais, welcome back to Day to Day.
Lovely to be here.
Well, you know, I love how you open the routine on the HBO special. You come on stage wearing this king's crown, a cape. There are tons of fireworks.
Please welcome to the stage, all the way from London, the Godfather, the phenomenon that is the English king of comedy, Ricky Gervais.
I think what I love about it is that you just manage at the very opening to set the tone that you are spoofing the entire idea of your celebrity, kind of reveling in it.
Well, exactly, yeah. I sort of think it was time because as much as a comedian, I think, has to be quite every man in a way, I don't think there's any place for a comedian to be above the audience. There's no place for rock and roll or cool or any of those sort of things. There should be no machismo in a comedian, because I think comedy is about empathy. And I think the audience doesn't need to be told that your life is better than theirs. So, however, because there's a certain amount of realism in everything I do, it was time to acknowledge that I was a famous person. I came out like that to let people know that it was very tongue-in-cheek, that I didn't think that I was anything special, but I had some stories. And, of course, you soon find out that all my anecdotes of fame are about me being the underdog, me being, embarrassed socially, the press getting the better of me, everyone getting the better of me, which I think is important.
I was jogging once, right, with my iPod on. Yeah, looking good, right? Paparazzi got me. Full page in the paper the next day with the headline, iPodge. Cheeky bastards.
You also create this alter ego, as you did on your television shows.
Yes.
And he's kind of a pompous jerk.
Well, he's one of those people that he's like a brasher version of myself. He's more confident, but of course he gets everything wrong. His targets are all wrong. He targets the weak because he's confused. I have to give enough nods and winks to the audience so they know that this is ironic. They don't think I'm some sort of strange right-wing bore trying to crack down on equality.
You make fun of kids with cancer. That's
well, I do, but of course they're fictional kids right. with cancer. There's obviously no victims, real victims in my show. I think that what a comedian does, or a satirist does, is make fictional superheroes and villains, so we can laugh guilt-free. I do a whole scenario that I was at a teenage cancer gig and I found out that one of the kids with cancer was 19, so he shouldn't be there. But of course, it's all untrue.
So I was doing the gig and he was laughing along and I thought, yeah, you laugh it up, mate. I was fuming. And it got too much for me and I went, all right, mate, I recognise you. You came backstage 2 years ago. Went, yeah, yeah. You said you're 18. He went, yeah, so you're 20 now. He went, yeah. I said, get out.
I think anyone who really thought I had someone kicked out of a gig because they were a year too old.
Not technically a teenager.
Exactly, yeah. So, another fictional character. I talk about Nelson Mandela as one of my heroes and say that he's incarcerated for 25 years, released in 1990, and he's been out 18 years and he hasn't reoffended. So, so it shows you prison does work. So I get everything slightly wrong. And the reason I even am attracted to those situations, why I do the comedy of embarrassment, it's been called, is because when you live in a world where your firstborn isn't dying of terrible diseases, we're not being shot at, the worst thing that happens to us is we do embarrass ourselves. We embarrass ourselves once a day. Mm-hmm. We get bad service. On the news, if you heard of a terrible war somewhere, but the milkman forgot to deliver your yogurt, you're going to be furious about that yogurt. The TV can be on in the background and you're complaining to the dairy,
And we will have more with Ricky Gervais after this short break when Day to Day continues. Back now with Day to Day and back with British comedian Ricky Gervais. He has a comedy special on HBO tomorrow night. One of the funniest bits is where he takes on children's nursery rhymes.
I go on about how everything we learn as a child is you know, charged with morality, and they sneak in learning whenever they can, and politics from an early age, and I deconstruct some little sayings and fables, and then I get to Humpty Dumpty, and I admit I can't see the moral.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. All I can think is, don't sit on a wall if you're an egg. But again, how is that applicable to a five-year-old human? I mean, you tell that to a group of five, so don't sit on a wall if you're an egg. What do you mean if I'm an egg? I'm not an egg.
That bit started off about a minute, and then by the end of the gigs, it was like 10 minutes long when I started thinking of more and more ludic. Don't send horses to perform medical procedure. It's ridiculous. They haven't got fingers. It's going to be chaos. They've got hooves. They're squash and egg. And certainly don't send all of them. What if we'd been invaded by France? It's ridiculous. He's just an egg. Let it go.
Well, that brings up a question. Your comedy is very visual. Obviously, you can't see that on the radio, but it is a very physical comedy.
Yeah, it's true. And I didn't realise that at the beginning. And then I suddenly realised that what people liked was me acting out a scenario as opposed to just telling jokes. And that was really heartwarming. I straight away act out things. And The Office was much more a study in body language than clever lines. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we react to because comedy is empathy. Most of the things we identify with are probably non-verbal. You know, body language and the way that you feel things are more important than what you hear. I do a piece where I imagine a dialogue between Hitler and Nietzsche.
All right, Nietzsche. Yes. Yeah, good. What do you want? Yes. Just read your book. What do you think? Love it.
It was getting a few laughs, but it didn't work until I made Hitler into a naughty schoolboy who was being told off by an intellectual. And as soon as I gave Hitler this sort of body language of being embarrassed and being caught out, people found the really, really, really chuckled.
Love all that. Man and Superman, not everyone's equal. Kill all the Jews. Sorry? Not everyone's equal, so kill all the Jews. I didn't write that. I read between the lines. I didn't mean that. That's terrible. You haven't been killing Jewish people, have you? Have you been killing Jewish people? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. A few. How many?
6 million.
6 million? That's all. I won't do anymore. Leave it at six.
What is it like doing your act? It is called Out of England, and it does have a lot of Britishisms in it. What is it like doing it in America? Do you get a different reaction to the jokes than you do at home?
It was great. I mean, I don't think it could have gone down better. When I first tried it at the Kodak in LA, it was great. It was my new favorite venue in the world.
And I have to say, I was in that audience.
Well, thank you very much. You were one louder. It was absolutely great. And also, I must say that America is my mecca for entertainment. Everything I've ever loved has come out of America, from Lauren Hardy and Groucho Marx, early Woody Allen, even like wisecrackers like Groucho Marx, Bob Hope. Again, they were cracking jokes. They were cracking wise in the face of adversity. They were still the losers because even though they were smart, that in a room full of idiots, you're the idiot. Because the idiots get together and go, who's this idiot? And that taught me that you have to be at the bottom rung of the ladder. No one wants to see unfeasibly handsome, clever people doing things brilliantly. They want to see a putt struggling and falling over, and the important thing is getting back up again. And that's David Brent, and that's Andy Millman, and that's, you know, every character I'll ever play, because it's what comedy's about. I was a lot freer in America. I don't know why. I don't know whether I'm under more scrutiny in my own country, but I ad-libbed 10 times more than I usually do. I just went off, and I just enjoyed myself more than I ever did before. And I want to keep that feeling now. You know, it's like I hit the ball perfectly for the first time. I felt that racket, and now I know where to hit the ball every time. And I can't wait to do my next show.
So do you like doing the live shows the best over doing
TV? That was
TV
a bad
movies?
Metaphor, wasn't it? Hitting a tennis ball. I lost people there. What does he mean, hitting a tennis ball? Does he play tennis on stage? What, is he an idiot? He'll have someone's eye out. Sorry, what did you say?
I don't know.
I'll answer it anyway.
Answer it anyway.
Like ducks. I like ducks most, then owls, then penguins, in that order. If your question was name your three favourite birds
it
of
was.
All time,
how did
I didn't
you know?
Hear. Oh, was it? Oh, it's good. Yeah, duck, owl, penguin.
And where's the comedy in a penguin?
Oh, come on! It's upright. It mates once a year. That they have to shuffle around with little short legs and keep the egg there. When a plane goes over, they look up and they fall on their back. They live on either rock, right, or they have to take their chance in the sea where everything is trying to eat it. It's intrinsically funny. A duck's funny because of the quack. Owl is apparently the only bird that can see blue.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're going to catch an owl, don't wear a denim jacket. Wear, I don't know.
Ricky Gervais, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That's Ricky Gervais. His show Out of England, the stand-up special, premieres tomorrow night on HBO. And you can see a clip from Out of England at our website, npr.org. Day to Day is a production of NPR News with contributions from Slate.com. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen.
Support for NPR comes from Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. From the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.